Sermon, The Hope Set Before Us. Nîmes, France, October 24, 1886. As John thought of the love of Christ, he was led to exclaim, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we might be called the sons of God." 1 John 3, verse 1. People think it a privilege to see a royal personage, and thousands go great distances to see one. How much greater privilege it is to be sons and daughters of the Most High! What greater privilege could be conferred on us than to be given entrance into the royal family? In order to become the sons and daughters of God, we must separate from the world. "Come out from among them, and be ye separate," the Lord says. "And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters." 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17-18. In separating from the world, we shall encounter difficulties on every hand. But here is comfort for us. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." 1 John 3, verse 2. There is a heaven before us, a crown of life to win. But to the overcomer only is the reward given. He who gains heaven must be clothed with the robe of righteousness. "Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Verse 3. In the character of Christ, there was no discord of any kind. And this must be our experience. Our lives must be controlled by the principles that controlled his life. Are we keeping our eyes fixed upon the perfect pattern, or are we lowering the standard? We need the faith that works by love and purifies the heart. We need to bring Christ into our homes. We cannot afford to be without his help. He says, "Ye are the light of the world." Matthew 5, verse 14. He has brought his people together in church capacity in order that he may teach them to put off the world and prepare for heaven. He came to this world to raise men and women from the degradation of sin and fit them for heaven. What more could God have done for us than he has done? And how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The love that Christ has shown for us is without a parallel. He died that we might have everlasting life. But in order to obtain this life, we must have strength from the source of all strength. The way of salvation has been opened before us. Shall we not walk in the path of duty? Many think that Christ is a long way off and cannot hear when we cry to him. But he is close to us, and he is acquainted with our weakness and our needs. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He understands our true condition. We should study his life more closely and gain a deeper knowledge of him and of what he has done for us. If we are his representatives, we must seek to be like him. We must work while it is day and watch constantly. Our hearts must be imbued with the love of Christ. Then we can obey. Then we shall be prepared to reach out after others. If Christ is in our hearts, we shall reveal this to those whom we are trying to help, and they will be drawn to him. Christ is soon to come the second time. Of this we should often talk. It should be the uppermost thought in our minds. He is coming with power and great glory, and every eye shall see him. All the holy angels will accompany him. Of this company John writes, "I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands." Revelation 5, verse 11. The trumpet has not yet sounded. Those who have gone down into the grave have not yet cried, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. The righteous dead have not yet been caught up with the living saints to meet their Lord in the air. But the time is near when the words spoken by the Apostle Paul will have their fulfillment. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, 17. In order for us to be like the Savior, we must be changed. Now is the time for us to bring into the daily life the virtues of Christ's life. We have no time to lose. Should we fail in our character building, we shall lose eternal life. We must build on the true foundation. If we bring to the foundation material represented by hay, wood, and stubble, our building will not stand the test of the judgment. We must do the work of Christ and be constantly watching and praying. Then we shall be ready for His appearing, prepared to receive eternal life. All who will can be overcomers. Let us strive earnestly to reach the standard set before us. Christ knows our weakness, and to Him we can go daily for help. It is not necessary for us to gain strength a month ahead. We are to conquer from day to day. This earth is the place of preparation for heaven. The time spent here is the Christian's winter. Here, the chilly winds of affliction blow upon us, and the waves of trouble roll against us. But in the near future, when Christ comes, sorrow and sighing will be forever ended. Then will be the Christian's summer. All trials will be over, and there will be no more sickness or death. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. Revelation 21, verse 4.